Good morning. It's a delight to see you this morning, and we have some special treats in store for you this morning as we gather together. Today is a national day of prayer for the persecuted church. Last week, you had the opportunity to hear Josh bring a report from his attending a Voice of the Martyrs conference a couple of weeks previous, and I trust that your hearts were challenged by the videos that you saw. It was encouraging to one family in our church because when they got home, they spent the time around the dinner table that afternoon talking about the church and what it meant to be a part of the church and making sure that with an increase in persecution, that there was assurance in the life, in the heart of each child that they were personally related to Jesus Christ, which led to some questions, and one of the kids wasn't really able to understand what was going on. So it resulted then in a follow-up conversation between one of the parents in the bedroom, and that little girl gave her heart to Jesus Christ. And she immediately wants to be baptized, and so we're working on setting up a date for some of that to take place. With the persecution comes a truing, a clearness, a winnowing in the church, and a deeper and more clear commitment to what it is that God is doing and the long-term realities of that. I want to encourage you to turn your Bibles to Romans, but we're going to go back just a little bit. I'm not going to go forward with our study in Romans this morning because we have some other things in store for you. But turn to Romans chapter 8, find verse 18. We're going to look this morning ever so briefly at what we have already covered, certainly in our study of Romans, but we're going to remind ourselves of it this morning in Romans 8, 18, and a few verses after that. Let me read what has been written and recorded for us here and is designed to encourage and challenge our hearts. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. What a profound statement on the part of the Apostle Paul. Here's a man who was struggling indeed to advance the gospel in his world and in his time, and he is confident of the glory that is in anticipation of that will far outstretch, outrank any of the sufferings and difficulties he has been enduring. For Paul, those are not just being, you know, fired because you prayed in the center of the football field. It's really a matter of recognizing that he has been beaten and imprisoned and persecuted in many different ways. He goes on to then describe the role that creation plays or has in that. And so he says creation even awaits with eager anticipation God's sons to be revealed. So it's not just you and I that have a glory that anticipates. We have a whole creation, a whole world that is anticipating the revelation of the glory of God and that coronation of his kids. And so, for the creation was subjected to futility, in verse 20, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now, and not only that, but we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now in this hope we were saved, yet hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. So there's a lesson that the Apostle Paul gives to us as we are navigating the difficult realm of planet Earth. It's the reality that the Earth itself is groaning under the curse of sin that has settled on the planet. And then we who navigate that, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, are at the same time navigating that which is broken and flawed. And we have this groaning even within ourselves, he says, for this hope, this redemption of our bodies. And then he comes down to the verse 26, and he says, in the same way, the Spirit also joins to help us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, or unspoken groanings. We looked at chapter 8 when we first came to it and saw that in the first seven chapters of the book of Romans, there was almost no reference to this spiritual realm. And then in chapter 8, suddenly there's just verse after verse after verse talks about this engagement of the Spirit of God with his people. And so we're not walking this journey alone, but we have an indwelling Holy Spirit when you're walking with Jesus Christ. And that indwelling Holy Spirit ministers to those groanings of your heart that are too deep for words. And certainly that would describe many of those in the persecuted church, struggling even to put into words, how, Lord, should I pray about the circumstances in which I find myself? And so all over the world, our challenge this morning is to be aware that in every corner of our planet, there are believers, men and women and young people just like us, who are faced on a daily basis with the difficulties and the challenges of walking in Jesus Christ. Many of them are persecuted, are suffering as a result of a faith that is illegal in the land where they live. And as a result of that, many of them endure hardships and difficulties, which then leads us to verse 28 as our final verse. Yet we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. One of those young couples who have been called according to his purposes are TJ and Stella Eiswald. Now, this is a young couple that have come up out of our own church, and about a year and a half ago surrendered to a call that the Lord really put into TJ's heart when he was just a boy about going and helping to make a difference, helping to be a part of bringing this good news to those that need to hear it. It's been a year and a half. You've heard and met TJ and Stella before, but in my conversations with them, I could see how God was increasingly shaping his message in their heart, how he was leading them and taking them through the sometimes dark valley of preparing them for service on the foreign field. And so I said to them, what are the chances that we could have you come and share your journey with us here at Mountain View? And today was the only day this month they even were available, because the Lord is placing them in other ministries and giving them other opportunities to be heard. So I'm going to ask them to come, and I don't know who's watching the herd while you guys are here, or if you're bringing them. But come, and this is TJ Eiswald and his wife Stella.
Well, good morning. Again, I think that's the third good morning that we've had this morning. But I just want to say thanks for letting us come and share with you. Like Pastor Bill said, and about this month and the last several months, we've been pretty busy having the opportunity to meet and share about our ministry with other churches in the area and with other people. But unfortunately, that means that we haven't been here fellowshipping with all of you, and we've missed that. It's been, something that we've definitely missed in our lives. So one of the main reasons that we wanted to share with you today is because we're so thankful for the family that we have here at Mountain View and your involvement in this ministry. There are so many vibrant ministries going on in these walls, and we're honored that you guys have chosen to adopt our ministry as one of those. Our hearts have gone through several changes over the last 2 years. We had originally felt God calling and leading us to use our skills to serve him. But through our training and through God softening our hearts and calling our hearts, he has developed in us a passion for the Bible as people of the world. And we want to share with you why we are so excited about being part of Bible translation, and hopefully get you guys excited about it too. You all know that I'm a helicopter pilot, And then we will be serving with Wycliffe and Jars in Papua New Guinea to help support the translation process and work that's going on there. Over the last year, we've been working on building our partnership team. We've sold our house, got rid of lots and lots of our stuff. You helped us move, and we've already gotten rid of a bunch of it. Preparing our lives for leaving our home and our families. But through all of this, we've continued to feel God's tug on our hearts to reach the people who do not understand what the Bible says about one man, about Jesus Christ. And as we move closer to what we hope is our departure date, that tug continues to get stronger and stronger. I look at pictures and videos of the people that live in Papua New Guinea, and I feel God saying, "These are my people. I came for them just like I came for you."
Today, there are about 6,800 spoken languages throughout the world. And of those, 1,900 still do not have any of the Bible in their language. That's 180 million people who cannot hear what Jesus did for them. It's really hard to visualize these numbers, so we have a list here that we want to show you that lists all of the people groups and their population that are still waiting for a Bible in their language. There are Kangala in Angola, Africa, or the Manta in Cameroon. This is the Dundu people from the Congo. These pages are all the Democratic Republic of Congo. This is all still Africa. The Katla people from Sudan. Here we are in Asia. There's the Northeast Thai that have over 15 million people. All the way to the Hoya people from Papua New Guinea with just 80 speakers. These pages are full. They're full of people who cannot hear how much God loves them. Okay, now we're into the Pacific region. This is 5, 6 pages from Papua New Guinea. It's a long list. And it's sobering to see, especially growing up in the church where we have the privilege of having the Bible at our fingertips. These people simply don't know that God knows them and loves them personally because he can't speak their language. Or they don't think he can speak his language. This was true for a language group in Cameroon. If you read our newsletters, we shared this with you last month. The pastor shared the crucifixion story on Easter for the first time in their language. And afterwards, the people came up and said, "Where did you get this story? You've been teaching us, and we've never heard this story. We didn't know that someone was willing to come and die and to save us." And he said, "You guys, I've shared this every Easter in French." And they said, "No, we've never heard this story before. We had no idea. For us here, God is accessible. But in too many parts of the world, for these 180 million people, he's just the God for the foreigners." These people on this list are significant, and their lives are valuable to God. But they have no real way of knowing that until they have access to read it for themselves.
In 1999, after 57 years of work and 3,000 languages still needing Bible translation, Wycliffe's leadership felt like challenging the body of Christ to accelerate the pace of Bible translation. So Vision 2025 was born. You see, in 1999, at the rate a Bible translation that was taking place, it would take 150 years before the last language, the last of those 3,000 languages, before a project was started. To the leadership team of Wycliffe Bible Translators, this was unacceptable. Generations of people would pass away without knowing or hearing about Jesus Christ. We want to see God's Word accessible to all people so that everyone has the opportunity to have an intimate and life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Vision 2025 was a huge leap of faith and a bold commitment. They were hoping and asking God to take 150 years worth of work and accomplish it in just 25 years. The sense of urgency of Wycliffe's leadership team, what they felt, has inspired an increase in priority on the ministry and on different ministries working together. And we've seen God's hand work through the advances in technology, the use of computer software, to make some of these things possible. Since the adoption of Vision 2025, new language programs have started at an unprecedented rate. On average today, a new project is started once every 5 days. That significantly shortens the length of time before we can see that last project started, before we can see this list disappear. To those 1,900 languages that still are waiting for a translation project, only God can make this happen. And we believe that God will continue to do a mighty work so that the goal might be realized over the next 10 years. We want to show you a short clip about the Kimyal language group in Papua as they receive for the first time their New Testament in their own language.
This is what it's all about. This is why we're going. The gratitude and hope on their faces as they get their own Bibles for the first time speaks for itself. We get to be a part of this. You, as a church, are a part of this ministry. You're a part of bringing hope to the communities in Papua New Guinea. And that is something to be excited about. We are so privileged here. So privileged. We have the Bible and a ton of resources that are easily accessible to us. We come together on a Sunday morning like this, and we can discuss it, and we can talk about how to live it out, have a conversation, but for these 180 million people, they're not invited to that conversation. This kind of privilege that we have comes with a responsibility to share it. And so we are. With the adoption of Vision 2025, we're sharing it. The explosion of missionaries from around the world, from countries like China, South Korea, and Brazil, we believe that in our lifetime, we will see a portion of Scripture available to every language group. We do this. I've done this like 3 times now, and seeing this list still breaks my heart. Even if each one of these names just stood for one person, it would still be worth going for. But these are millions of people. So I just want to ask you today. I'm sorry. If you see this and you're feeling like, I can do more, I want to do more to reach them, then please come talk to us. We are still in the process of building our partnership teams, and we would be so excited to have you join us in this ministry. There are still 300 languages in Papua New Guinea, and translators are moving into more remote locations, so the need for helicopter transportation is increasing. Let's link arms with those still waiting and help provide helicopter transportation support for the translation projects in their area. Thank you so much. Thank you for being a part of this, for partnering with us, and for allowing us to share today.
Just before you guys leave, I'd like to have your kids come down so everybody can appreciate the extended family, because they're planning to actually go with you. So come on down, gang. As both TJ and Stella have mentioned, there's one that's not in the nursery right now. There's a fourth one that's in the nursery. That they have now sold their home. And so we have housed them in one of our homes behind the church until their departure time, and are narrowing down now to training that starts in January and then a departure for Papua New Guinea in June or July or whenever, sometime after you're trained. Yeah, that part has to be ironed out once they get through the rest of the hoops. All right, thank you so much, you guys. Lord bless you. I think the kids might be getting used to being up in front of people. They have had the opportunity to go and visit other churches. I want to encourage you to take a look inside your bulletin, because we put in there a little indicator of where the TJ and Stella stand. And there were two reasons why I wanted to bring them. I wanted you to hear their heart because I feel like in the last year and a half, the Lord has really matured his call on their lives, and I think you see the evidence of that. It's also abundantly clear to me why it is that an individual like TJ is strategic in the in this particular approach of reaching the remotest people. As the gospel translations and as the ministry's gone out, it's obvious that missionaries can reach the person next door much easier than they can the one who's way out in the jungle. But as the ministry advances, those who are the most remote, those who are the most difficult to reach, are the ones that are left. And that becomes all the more strategic for somebody who can get in there by helicopter, because these are areas where you cannot land a plane. And so it's a core part of helping to advance this particular gospel agenda. So I want to encourage you. You'll notice that they are at about 55%. And I want to be honest with you as a congregation that one of the crunches that the Eiswalds are experiencing is the fact that Wycliffe wants them to have the rest of this support raised before they start their training, because they're not going to be able to do any of it during the training time. That's like a two-month window to finish this up. It's a big task, but our God is bigger still. And so I want to encourage you to be in prayer about them, and whether or not you can contribute, even if you contributed just a small portion, your regular monthly participation will remind you also to be regularly in prayer about them as well. I want to go a step further. Our missions committee sometimes will get a letter or an email from a member of the congregation who's become aware of a missionary need in another part of the country. And so they will submit that information to our mission committee for their consideration. We actually get a lot of requests that come in by mail and so forth, but when they come from a member of the church or from somebody who attends, they get attention. It doesn't mean we always are able to do anything about it, but they certainly are looked at and analyzed and considered. And so here's my challenge to you. If you have good relationships, a good communication with a previous congregation that you've been a part of, and you think that they might be interested in hearing about the Eiswalds in this particular ministry, I want to challenge you to write a letter to them and ask them to consider them. They may invite them to come up and make a presentation. They may participate, they may not, but at least they'll have the opportunity to be made aware of. And so TJ and Stella have a brochure that you can stuff into an envelope. They're going to be out there in the foyer, and if you want one of those brochures, if you're thinking that you'd like to write to somebody, then pick up one and write a letter saying you ought to consider this young couple and the work that they're going to be doing, and then stuff that in that envelope along with the rest of your letter. Put the brochure in there with your envelope. I think that's what I was trying to say. So a way to consider them and a way to consider advancing the gospel message. You see, the world is in turmoil. That's what Romans chapter 8 is teaching us. The world itself is even crying out for the redemption of God's own children. And God is using his people, but he's taking them through difficult times and through difficult circumstances. But as Paul says, that those sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that is going to be revealed. There are hard things that we bear, hard challenges that we face. And frankly, what's on my heart this morning is that we as a people, and I don't mean you, I mean me too, we live so differently than so many in the rest of the world. TJ and Stella put a sheet of paper that went from here to the back door of people who do not have the Bible in their own language. And you have actually a choice of translations. I mean, you have the King James and the New King James, the Revised Standard and the New Revised Standard, the American Standard and the New American Standard, and then the New American Standard updated. You have the New International Version. You have the English Standard Version. You have the Holman's Christian Standard Bible. The list goes on, and the New Living Translation. I probably haven't covered all the ones that are here today. We have so many resources. We are meeting with public announcement. We put on a sign that flashes on the corner what time we meet here. There are countries that if you did that, you'd be busted by the police. They would come through the door and arrest you for being there. We are so disconnected physically that it is imperative that we make sure we are listening to what they're saying, and we are walking with them in spirit, if not being there in presence. The challenge that the persecuted church endures is great. Many who are imprisoned and beaten. China is still routinely throwing Christians who do not conform to the government's rules into prison. We know that in the Middle East, many Christians are paying for their faith with their lives. And so we need to be folks who are remembering them. We have another couple, missionary couple, who are working in China. Turns out, just this week, we received a long overdue prayer letter from Dan and Helen Parsons. If you're on their mailing list, you got this. If you are not, well, you didn't. But it's a 3-page letter, and if you'd like a copy of it, just let me know, because we'll make you a copy. The only thing that Dan and Helen have to be very careful about doing is not communicating anything that the authorities could pick up on, because the persecution is alive and well in China. Let me share with you some of the highlights of what Dan and Helen have said in this email that we got, I think, yesterday. For the big part of the last 2 years, it seemed like we were walking in thick mud most of the time, and often wondered whether it made sense on what we were doing. It seems that sickness and poverty, like a shadow, follow the villagers everywhere. Wherever we went, there were always cries and needs. This place is called the Gospel Valley, yet frequently we question where the power of the gospel was. People we met still live under the laws, the fear, the rituals of human traditions, and there is no joy. The spiritual battle is so real, and people often just simply say, "Me ban fa." We don't have any other choice. Fatalism. However, boy, you love to see a however when you're reading a letter like that. The Father's work began to show much more here in these last 6 months. And then she begins to describe individuals who have been impacted and changes that have been made. It's 3 pages long, so I won't read the whole letter to you. They get down through individuals that they've ministered to and then describe another piece of the difficulty that they're undergoing as missionaries in China. On top of all this, we are one step away from receiving the business license. Now, if you understand doing ministry in a closed communist country, you can understand that you can't go on a missionary visa. They don't have such a thing. You can go on a tourist visa, which is very limited in its scope, or you can go on a work visa where you're engaged in a business. So many actually open and create a business that is some kind of revenue generator for China, but it lets them stay in the country and then minister the gospel to people. I spend a reasonable amount of time writing reports, filling out the forms, making modifications, and talking to people on the phone. Needless to say, this business application process is tedious, inefficient, and character testing. Since no office has done foreign business registration in this area before, no one could tell us what to do and which document we would need. We were running around in circles. Besides, all the documents have to come from our home country first, such as bank statements, criminal records, and so forth. And then all have to be translated into Chinese officially before submission. Anyway, right now, the last piece of document that we need to get is a permission from the Commerce Department before we can get our business license. There are three local offices we need to pass in order to get this. We are racing with the clock now, and by December 10th, we need to obtain this permission that has to be submitted to the business office in Kunming. Otherwise, we have to start the application process all over again. Please remember this matter in your thoughts and pray that we will leap over this last big hurdle with God's help. Over and over, they describe the challenges that they face in the country of China as they're just leading the Lord, giving the Lord to the people and presenting the ministry of the gospel to them. So we have identified several things for prayer, and those are the things I want to do next. We've identified TJ and Stella as going out, and they are under a deadline to finish raising their support. And I think as a church, we should pray about the support for TJ and Stella. And I'm going to ask one of you if you'd be willing to take that on. Also, I think we should pray for the Parsons in their journey in China and this deadline that they face for the acquisition of this document that will let them stay in the country and continue to do their ministry. And then thirdly, to pray for the church worldwide, the believers who are struggling and who are suffering globally across our whole planet. And so if you'd be willing to, I'm going to have you stand and just pray right where you are, but if you'd be willing to pray for the Eiswalds and for the deadline that approaches and for their support discovery process and for God's great victory in supplying what is necessary, would you let me know by signifying with your right hand or your left hand or any part of your body that you'd be willing to pray for them? Who will pray for the Eiswalds? And Jesse will. And then I would like for someone to pray for the Parsons and for the challenges that they face, in particular in this business license. Anybody? Okay, Ron. And then finally, who would pray for the persecuted church in our world? Nancy will. All right. Lord God, as we join together now as a family around the communion table, we recognize this is one thing that binds us together with believers in every corner of our planet and throughout all of the ages of the church, that what we do together with them. We have the privilege of doing it here with immense freedom, and they not. But Lord, we want to lift them up to you. We pray for the advancement of the gospel, for the provision of Bibles to those that have yet to hear, for the encouragement for those who are in the trenches and slogging through the mud. Lord, we just unite with them in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.